Kettlewell, Reel 2. So how long would you have been in Windsor?
Not quite a year. We had two very excellent unit officers. The first one was Ursula Waite, and she had a way of being, she was in command, but she was very friendly, and you felt at ease with her, except when she told me to change my hat. But and then she got promoted and posted up to the Humber, and there was another MT driver and I. She'd been a motor raced at Brooklands, and Ursula Waite said, would we take Baby Austin up to the Humber? But it was being maintenance, she couldn't take it up. And so one day we got permission to do this day trip up to the Humber, and found the car wasn't even licensed, but we went ahead and hitchhiked back. But the unit officer who took over from First Officer Wake was a very charming person. She, her name was Mrs. Hyam, Second Officer Hyam. And she was a barrister, a mother of some children. I think later she was mayor of York, but not long after the war. She was absolutely splendid, and she told me that I should stop driving a Tilly and go up and take a commission. And as I wasn't doing a very exciting job, I graciously agreed. I mean, I think one only expected to be in the service for such a short time, that as long as you were doing something active, being an officer didn't really attract particularly. And if I'd been on in a more a better driving job, say in a port or something, or some of them escorted convoys, some of them were in drivers and that sort of thing, I probably wouldn't have accepted. I had been offered a cipher commission earlier, but I didn't think, in my lordly, youthful way, that cipher was my thing. So I went up to Greenwich from Windsor, and we were met in the station with a lorry and cambered into the back, and were received by Superintendent French in Queen Anne Block, which the Wrens had the whole use of. And Superintendent French was a very delightful and remarkable person. She taught history in a girls' school in Norfolk, and she was very elegant, with very neatly curled grey hair. And she, I suppose there were about 30 of us who went on this week. And she went round and said we said our names and where we'd come from, our ship. And she went round the 30, and then she went back and repeated our names and our ship for the whole 30. And although we were only on course 3 weeks, I think earlier it had only been 2 weeks, she always remembered people, and it was said that her reports were always accurate in that short time. She was quite remarkable, and a person that everybody was very fond of and respected a great deal. And we did quite a lot of squad drill at Greenwich with the Royal Marine Sergeants.
Hey, what was that like, being with a Royal Marine Sergeant?
Well, I think we all had good sense of humour, and I think he quite enjoyed it too. I mean, I don't say it wasn't strict, it was. And one of our, when we had our passing out parade, one of the number, we all have to do a bit of all this, but one got panicked and marched us straight into the director, said there in North America. And we had to sort of break ranks now, but she stood absolutely firm. But I don't think I did any marching after that. I can't remember it.
Did you have to have an examination or test in order to get a commission? You know, before you were accepted for that course?
I think your unit officer filled in a form and gave you so many marks for different aspects of your work. And then you went up to a board, and on my board there was Dan Vergort Matthews and Lady Chumley, who was the chief officer and the Marchioness of Chumley. And there was a superintendent. I think three or there could have been four people, but I remember there were three. And they asked you various questions, and I suppose it lasted about a quarter of an hour, not very long. And there was nothing written examination. I mean, at Greenwich, you had to write a few simple. I mean, I remember we had to write about quarters because I spelled accommodation with only one M, which I've remembered ever since, because it came back with red marks on it. But there was no examination or stuff. I think perhaps one or two failed. A lot of people were going for cipher commissions before. And
did you have any idea what you wanted to do in the Wrens by this time?
I imagined I would be doing administration or something of that kind. In fact, when I went for my final board, which was in Greenwich, again, it was the director and Lady Chumley. I was told I was to be quarters officer at Hapston, which was in Yorkshire's police town. And I didn't dare say, well, I don't know anything about quarters. And they didn't think of sending me to work under anybody who had experience. I mean, this meant the catering, ordering all the supplies and looking after the laundry and the huts and the cleaning and the... and then that side of it was really the catering that I felt I wasn't qualified for. And I and another Wren officer, she was going to Thursday, we got onto the Jellicoe Express and were locked in by the guard because we were the only women on board. And it was very cold. And then we got to Inverness where we were able to have breakfast. I think it was Inverness. And then we landed at Thurso, and I got on a ferry boat, quite a big one, and went across the Pentland Firth, and it was very, very rough. I'm a good sailor, but a lot of them on board went. And then we got to the main island, and then I had to take another boat across to Kirkwall. And I reported to the first officer, who was Mrs. Rumbelow Kess, another great character. She was a naval widow and had lost her midshipman's son at Crete. And she was a very attractive woman. But she managed to be attractive while still wearing a monocle and a bow tie. And her midshipman son's waistcoat. However, she said to me, "What is your experience of quarters?" This was before I'd unpacked. And I said, "Well, I run camps in Canada and I looked after Jewish expectant mothers for 6 months." And she was not amused. She she picked up the telephone to headquarters and said, I asked for a qualified quarters officer. Will you send a relief for Kettleworm? Well, they didn't send one for 6 months, and I had a lovely 6 months up in the Orkney. At least most of it was lovely. We used to bicycle around and all the flowers and the scenery. They were in Nissen huts. We were all living in Nissen huts. There were about 200 rooms, I think. And we had a flu epidemic, and my sister and I spent our time carrying soup and simple food round to the girls who were sick in a big Orkney gale. And the catering, of course, in the Orkneys was quite different because there were so many eggs and meat and butter. There was no shortage because they couldn't export it across to the men, or it's difficult. They couldn't do it, and so they were only too glad to sell it to the Navy. But when it came to things like fresh vegetables and fruit, it was more difficult. And the laundry had to go across in a drifter to the mainland, and sometimes it came back on top of the drifter and you had to drive out the salt water with the salt water, and you got it back. So there were quite a specialisation.
How were you coping with the job? You know, bearing in mind that a replacement had been asked for you. You know, were you proving that you could do this?
Well, I had to rely a good deal on the senior ratings, who knew all the forms to fill in and had some idea of how much you ordered for that number of people. I liked the people. I was the men officers who were there. There were some quite remarkable characters. There was a second officer, Paddy Finch Noyes, who was said really to run the station. She was in the ops or the captain's office, and she was a young war widow too. Her husband had been an aviator, naval radio. And they were all very friendly, and there was a lot to do, so that I think I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the realms that I was looking after. And one thing we had to do on a Saturday, this was during the summer, took 200 wrens from Hatstone and Kirkwall in drifters across the flow, Scrapper Flow, to the Flotter canteen. And it took 2 hours in the drifter, and then you danced for 2 hours with the men from all the ships in the flow. And then you had 2 hours back in a wonderful light, because of course the sun hardly sets, and so even if it was 10 or 11 at night, it was still that magic Orkney light.
Was it also quite a sight, you know, all the ships there? Was it?
It was amazing. Usually there would be perhaps 3 battleships and a lot of aircraft carriers, cruisers and battle cruisers, and all the destroyers and the submarines. It was the whole flow, and then occasionally it went over and they were on a Russian convoy or something, and all the big ships were out, and there were only a few depot ships. They still went, and still need for the dance and all that side with that. I shall always remember that, and the size of the fleet. And occasionally we went on board for a meal before going to the canteen.
Did you have any problems, you know, with the Wrens? You were sort of in charge of quarters. with the men, sailors, you know, were there any sort of problems of relationships or pregnancies, things like that?
I don't remember anything up in the Orkneys. I was only there 6 months, and we had to lock the wrens in at night into their huts. Not, I mean, they had keys, they could have gone out, but there was an army camp for our guy in Sunderland's next door, and this was deemed wise. But no, I don't remember. And of course, the ships were so far away that you couldn't have, the sailors weren't able to get to Kirkwall. I mean, there were sailors on the naval air station, but we had dance. We ran dances in the Wren's quarters.
What were the Wrens doing in that area? What were their sort of services?
They were cooks and stewards and writers. I think we called them parachute packers, safety equipment. There was a Wren officer, quite a team doing that. Because the aircraft from the flow, from the ships in the flow, would come when the ships got into the flow, they would fly off and come and land at Hudson, and then they could go on flying and practice and have the engines serviced. And I think there were probably air mechanics too, and radio mechanics, and there was quite a mixture, and there would have been met friends as well.
It must have been a very busy area for the Navy, around the Orkneys and Scupper Flow.
But of course, there was a unit down in Kirkwall. I'm not sure quite what that was more to do with ships.
How did you get on with the locals up there? How did they react to the naval presence?
There was one of the locals from one of the later families. She was always known as Wee Bakey. Her name was Bakey, and she was very small. And she was very friendly, and we got asked out to their house. And I think in the shops and the farms, they were all there. But I don't remember a lot of hospitality there other than the Bakeys. Well, then the first officer went on draft before I did, actually. And then she'd done her time up there, and she went for me. The unit officer who came up wanted to keep me, but I was appointed to Greenwich as the course officer at Greenwich. And I was quite pleased with that, because that had no catering. The chief ship did all the catering for the Wrens.
Was that the most difficult part for you, or the part you dislike most, the catering?
I think it's the part I dislike most. I hadn't been brought up to cook or cater, and I'd had to do a certain amount of simple cooking in Canada and that sort of thing. But I think, no, I wasn't really.
So back to Greenwich then.
Yes.
And this time.
Back to Greenwich. The Superintendent of French, who we all called Aunt Elsie, said that was and my job, there were about 200 Wren ratings on the staff, mostly cooks and stewards in the painted hall, and some stewards for cleaning all the accommodation. Because there were a lot of British was used for naval officers' courses, all sorts of different courses, navigation and lieutenant and a great variety of courses. And so it was almost entirely manned by Wrens at that time. But the head of the galleys was a chief, a civilian chief. And we had two splendid chief Wrens. Chief Wren Morphy looked after the painted hall. I mean, there were one or two pensioners, chief petty officers, naval. And Chief Wren Greenwood looked after all the wines and the wine cellars of the Grange, which was quite a big job. So we had those Wrens. We also had, when I first went there, this time the telegraphist school, Wrens, which had the one part of Queen Anne's block. And when I went, they were at war with Crooks and Stewards, so I had to quell that one slightly. And then, of course, there were the cadets who came in every week, about 30 of them. And it was my job to put them all in different cabins. And dear Aunt Elsie insisted that you had more or less older ones were in the smaller cabins, and you mustn't put two Wrens from the same ship in the same cabin. They got to be mixed up. So it was like doing a sort of crossword puzzle every week. They were putting them all in their different cabins. And of course, one never got tired of going into the painted hall. It was always a wonderful experience, even breakfast, some sharing. And one had big functions and dinners, and American admirals were dined, and they still managed the splendid occasions in spite of the Blitz. And of course, when there wasn't any Blitz, the lieutenants used to go up on the roof and look after the sandbags and put out any fire bombs. And we spent many nights sleeping in the basement. I mean, we had all the right things down there, so that we just went down. Even Dame Vera and Lady Chumley had to sleep down there on several occasions. Because on the night of the board, they always spent the night before and after the boards down there at Greenwich. And
Yes, so that sort of indicates that you had quite a lot of entertainment, is that right?
Yes.
With Dame Vera coming. Was she singing, you know, at your social events?
Look, she did. I do remember she was in hospital up in the Gordon Hospital in Lincoln Square. And another third officer and I from Greenwich were sent to and take her some flowers. And we were ushered in, and there she was up in her, sitting up in bed with her mandolin. And we were required to sing with her, and I may say singing is not one of my considered gifts. And we couldn't wait to get out. However, when I was up in the Orkneys, then there it came up. And I remember there was a concert or a ship's concert in the big hall, and she got up and played for a sing song. She was really, didn't have to have any music or anything, she could play all the songs. Also, you weren't allowed to beat her at ping pong or table tennis, which we had at Greenwich. I don't think probably I would ever have been able to, but it wasn't done.
Was there much interaction between the Wends and the men in the Navy? Did you, you know, have much interaction with them at Greenwich?
Oh, yes. I mean, there were particularly, I mean, some of the courses were there for only a very short time, so that you could, but there were some engineers course, which was called the Dagger course, and they were there for 2 years. One got to know them. In fact, the Wren officer who was teaching cipher to naval officers at Greenwich, she married one of the lieutenants, and I was staying with them 2 weeks ago. So we've been, I called myself the best woman because I was in uniform, but I was the bridesmaid, so to speak, and we've been friends ever since. And I still know several of those on the ones that are still alive who were on that long course. And there were two lovely Chinese who were on a long course too, engineers, and they took us up to dinner once, a whole lot of us, to a Chinese restaurant. And they were great fun, and they mixed, and I mean, we had a nice Wren officer's wardroom where we could entertain for drinks and do whatever.
So relations were good, were they, between them?
There was a lovely pub called the Yacht just outside the gate with a sawdust on the floor, and all the locals were real cockneys, and we had a wonderful time there and sing songs, and they seemed to welcome us too very much.
So that was your second spell at Greenwich. How long did that last?
That was only been for 3 weeks.
Yes. How long did that last?
I went
the spring.
Back. Not quite 2 years. I was promoted to second officer while I was there. And also while I was there, I was talking to the chief shepherd in the King William block by the moon about meals for the Wrens, and there was a lot of low flying, and we looked out and we saw aircraft at treetop height, and we said those Spitfires were going to go, and then there was a crash, and the front of King Charles right in the middle got upon the middle of the archway, and one retired commander was killed. But the very blessing was that the men stewards who should have been, who had been cleaning, had gone back to have their lunch, and the lieutenants who would have been going back before lunch had not got there, they were still in their lectures. And there had been a formation of German planes, in the formation of three, about 9 planes in all. One had gone over the top of the buildings, where the chief cook and I were, and the others had gone over the parade ground and over the tennis court. And there was a Wren officer who was at a lecture, navigation, in King Charles, and she said she looked out, she was looking eyeball to eyeball with the German pilot, and I think they'd come over Blackheath, and they'd dropped bombs in Lewisham, and they were coming over to bomb the docks, and they'd suddenly come over the hill and seen Greenwich, and they just had time to drop one bomb before they got to the dock. So in a way, we were very lucky.
Was that the only incident, you know, a bombing that occurred?
We had a lot of fire bombs and that sort of thing. no actual big bomb.
Yeah. Because it must have been quite dominant from the air, Greenwich, you know, flying over, one would imagine.
They're
vulnerable.
Seen it from, until they got over Black Heath, if they were coming in that direction, because the heath is quite high, and there's a sudden drop after the observatory. Mm.
It's very interesting, you know, you saying that throughout all this there were really splendid occasions in the Painted Hall.
Yes.
And are there any occasions that sort of stand out in your mind at all that you could, you know, perhaps tell us about? You would have gone to these, would you?
Oh, yes. Being staff, we were always in the upper hall, which was nice.